how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Mine eyes prevent the night watches because I rise to meditate upon thy statutes. We greet each one in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. It sure is a blessing to be home, to sing with y'all. We enjoy putting our heart into the songs that they sing in Africa, but it's just not like singing at home. It's just not like singing the meat of the words that we sing here at home. And we all want to thank you for all your prayers that you prayed for us. I was thinking while we were in Africa, I'm glad that God made this earth round. And that things can be going on at the same time in different places. I'm glad for that. It was several times while we were there, we would sit down for a meal on the Sunday afternoon about 2 o'clock. And we'd be sitting there all gathered together eating our meal. And someone would say, you know, they're gathering together right now. That's right. The brethren are in the prayer room right now praying. Right now. They're praying for us right now. That's right. And we just took great courage. And there were other times when we also drew aside knowing that you were just gathering together right now and we could breathe a prayer heavenward and we'd go like this and like this on another part of the world. We thank God for that. I don't plan to preach on Africa this morning. The Lord has laid something else, a burden on my heart. But I might share one story with you. Something that happened while we were over there that blessed all of our hearts. And it just shows how God uses many different people to fulfill His will. There was one day Brother Ross and Jake, they went to another village, a neighboring village, to do some witnessing. And there they found a young man about 33 years old sitting out in front of a fetish priest's house, which is a witch doctor. And there he sat, all shriveled up and as skinny as a rail, dying. And Brother Ross asked him, "What are you doing here, my friend?" He said, "I'm dying. I'm sick. And I'm dying, and I'm here in front of this witch doctor's house because I need to be healed." Brother Ross and Brother Jake began to preach to him and tell him about Christ, and he knew about Christ, but he didn't know what to do. He had ran out of money, and he couldn't go to the hospital anymore. Nobody had any money to take care of him, and he didn't know what else to do, and his parents didn't know what to do with him, so they dropped him there in front of that witch doctor's house. We found out later that he was dying of tuberculosis. Brother Ross and Brother Jake, they picked him up, got him to his feet, and he couldn't walk by himself. They had to put his arms over their shoulders, and they walked him out to the side of the road and got a taxi, and off they went in the taxi to find his mother. And after talking to the mother, they took him to the hospital at Cape Coast and provided money for him to have medicine and food. And as far as I know, he's still there right now. But, oh, the word went out through the village that there's two white men that came to the village and they snatched up this man that was dying of tuberculosis and they took him away and they don't know where he went. And the word went around the village. There's a healer over at the Elmina Motel. That's all they thought. There's a healer over there at the motel. And the next day, here came two ladies with their sick children. And they found the watchman there. There was a watchman who watched the property during the day and then another one at night. And they found the watchman and they told the story to the watchman and they said, "We'd like to see the healer. Take us to the healer." So here comes the watchman with these two ladies and they had their little children. And the one little girl was very sick and the other one had jaundice or hepatitis. But One of these ladies couldn't speak any English at all. The other knew some English, but the one lady, she couldn't speak any English. She was a Muslim. She didn't believe in Christ. And we felt like before we pray for her children, we need to deal with her soul. But nobody spoke the language. And here stands the watchman there in the room. And he spoke the language, but he wasn't a Christian. So for 30 minutes, he interpreted and told this lady all about Jesus and what He could do and how He could change her life and He could deal with her sin and change her life and take care of her problems and her needs. And we'd talk a little bit and the girls would talk to him, and then he'd preach to the lady for a while, and then we'd talk to him some more. He'd preach to the lady for a while, and when we got done preaching through him for about 30 minutes, she got down on her knees and she prayed. And I don't know what happened to her. We never saw her again. But it was very interesting. The next morning, here come the watchmen. He said, "I need to talk to somebody. I'm a Christian, but I have troubles in my life," he said. "I've never been able to overcome my cigarette habit. I've never been able to overcome my drinking habit. I'm married, but I'm unfaithful to my wife, and I cannot stop. Can you help me?" And that's about the size of the gospel that they get over there, that they feel like they're a Christian, but they just can't get rid of their smoking, their drinking, and their immorality. So we began to talk to him, and we talked to him for a few minutes, and then we sent him away to think, and we gave him a Bible and gave him a couple chapters to read and asked him to come back at 1 o'clock that day. And he came back at 1 o'clock and we talked to him, I guess, for about a half an hour and clearly laid the gospel out to him and showed him that he's never been born again. Showed him you can't overcome the things in your life. You're not born again. We had him read 1 John chapter 3 earlier that day to show him that you can't live in sin when His seed is in you. You can't do it. So that watchman, he got down on his knees and he just wept his way to the Lord and he got born again. And we just rejoiced that God touched his life through touching the other woman's life, through touching the old poor, the poor young man's life who had tuberculosis. God was working in the whole thing. And we saw that watchman, he was around us every day. It's interesting, from that day forward, he hung around us. He still had to do his job, but he watched our end of the motel a lot more than he watched the other end. And he had a Bible, and he was reading his Bible. Every chance he had, he was reading that Bible. We'd walk by him, and he'd be singing songs. And you'd go by again, and he'd be there praying. And we just watched him. We watched his life just go up. And up, and every day we'd talk to him and see how you're doing. And, he's doing better yet today. And I told him he needs to go and confess to his wife the unfaithfulness that he had with her. And, that was a hard one. And it took him 2 or 3 days. But then on a Sunday, he sat his wife down and told her all what he was like. And asked her if she wouldn't forgive him. And she just graciously forgave him. And she said, If you are a Christian and you're going to follow Christ," she said, "I will follow you to church." And she made that commitment to follow him to church. That was on Sunday. And on Monday, we said, "Well, it's time for you to get baptized." He missed the baptism that we had for the others. So we had a special baptism for him on Monday. Took him out in the ocean and baptized him. And he brought his wife the next morning to see us and say goodbye. And her name was Yamiye. That's quite a name. It means God is good. That is her name. How would you like to have a name like that? Yamiye. God is good. But she's not a Christian yet, but I trust that she will be as she continues to go to church. But that's just one of many exciting stories that we had while we were away of how God answered your prayers on our behalf. It was a blessing, it was a thrill to be in the work of God and to see Him work the way He did. We just had a revival for a month. That's what we had. We were just living in the sweetness of God's reviving Spirit all the time, from the beginning of the day to the end, and the beginning to the end, the beginning to the end. I told the young people, "You're in Bible school. This is one Bible school you won't get by going away somewhere to the Bible schools in America. This one's different. But I praise God for the Bible school we had over there for a month. And we do thank you for your prayers. I'd like you to open your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 8. I would like to speak on this subject this morning. I feel impressed of the Lord to share with you this morning that Christ is all. That's a statement that you find in the Word of God. Christ is all and in all. But we just want to look at that little phrase, Christ is all. There's a little song that says, Christ is all I need, Christ is all I need. All that I really need. Another song says, all in all is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. And this morning, it is my heart desire that God would convince you of that in a way that maybe He hasn't before. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now here we have a beautiful picture. These words that we read, they come out of the book of Jeremiah. You'll find them twice in the book of Jeremiah. You'll find somewhat the same words again in the book of Ezekiel. And all through the Old Testament, God was giving words of prophecy, prophesying what the relationship would be of the children of God to the God of heaven in the New Testament day when the new covenant came. And here we have a beautiful picture. He says, I'm going to put my laws in their mind. I'm going to write them in their heart. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And we see a very close relationship. We see an intimate relationship between God and His people, one like He did not have with them in the Old Testament. There they had statutes and laws to live by. Here they are written on the very hearts of the people. There God dwelt on the mercy seat. Here God dwells in the hearts of men and women. There the people came to the temple where the sacrifices were offered, and they thought about God. But now God is there teaching them. There they gathered at the temple, and the Levites taught them the Word of God. But here God says, no longer will one go to another and say, you need to learn this and you need to learn that. But all will know me, and all will be taught of God. That's a beautiful picture of a relationship. This morning, I'd like to take a different look at how God meets the needs of His people. And I want to say this, lest I misunderstood. I recognize this morning that God uses human elements to meet the needs of His people. But I don't want to look at those this morning. And maybe by the time I get done, you'll think I don't believe in it anymore. But I do. I believe that God uses human elements to meet the needs of His people, but I believe also in this New Testament era that we are living in that God wants to meet the needs of His people without human elements. So I'm not discounting the human elements. I believe in pastors and teachers and counselors and comforters and prayer warriors and those who listen when someone needs to talk. In fact, the very purpose of our leadership seminar was to train human elements to be able to minister the needs of people. And I believe in that, but I believe there's also another way in which God meets the needs of His people. And there is a danger there is a danger that we begin to develop a mentality that we have to go and talk to somebody in order to get help. That we need a counselor in order to meet our needs. That we need somebody to listen to us in order to unburden our hearts. And that's not always true. There is a danger of looking manward for help when God wants to be our help. And by the way, this is not an announcement to stop coming for help. But rather, that we just all learn and let God stretch our spiritual lives. That we also come to grips with the reality that we can, through God, have our needs met in our lives. We can do it. Turn to 1 John in chapter 2. We see there another verse that so clearly brings this out. Familiar to all of us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That's quite a verse, isn't it? John, speaking to the Christians, he's warning them about deceivers, and he's warning them about false teachers, and he's warning them about those that were among but left and went out. And it seems as if maybe he could sense that maybe the people of God would get a little worried there. Well, how do you know who's a deceiver and who isn't? And he comes in with these words, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Looking down a little bit further in the same chapter, verse 27. Chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Here we have another verse that clearly shows us that there is such a relationship between man and God where he does not have to have everything taught to him by somebody else. But rather, a relationship between God and man where God is the teacher. I told the young people while I was over there, in fact, ours and also those that were in Kenya, I told the young people, you don't need to go away to Bible school. The curriculum is already planned out, and you've got the best instructor you will ever find. He is the most powerful. He is the most flawless instructor you've ever had in your life. He's the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I'd like to lift that relationship up before us. An observation that I'd like to share with you. And I think that everyone who knows what revival is, who knows what a touch of revival is, will agree with this. I have observed when people get clear with God. When people get clear with God and draw near to God, when people get close to God and get busy in His work, they don't need much human help to get their problems solved. Have you ever noticed that? When people get right with God, I mean nothing between my soul and the Savior. When people get right with God and they draw near to God, they don't need much human help. Their problems get solved. It's not that they don't have any problems, but they've drawn close and near to the problem solver, and the problems get solved little by little by little as they are going on in their walk with God. I noticed it fresh and new while we were in Africa. We took 6 young people along with us. Young people have problems. They have struggles. They have battles to face. And dropping them off in the middle of Africa didn't help any of that. But it was very interesting how little maintenance those six young people needed while we were there. Why? Because they had drawn near to God. They were close to God. They were reading His Word. They were walking with Him. Everything was clear between him and them and God. They were busy in His work. God was close to them. And it just seems like God was able to solve their problems. I know they had problems while they were there. I know they had struggles while they were there. I know they had battles while they were there. But they didn't need a lot of human maintenance. Isn't that interesting? Now there are many needs and problems among us here this morning. There are many. I know there are people in this room, I know you're hurting this morning. I know some of you have struggles and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to get out of them. Some of you are facing things maybe no one else even knows about it. Some of you are facing things and everyone knows about it. You don't know what to do and you don't have an answer. Well, I believe the Word of God does have an answer for you. Christ is all. He really is all. I think of the illustration of A.B. Simpson, who was a young man. When God began to use him, he was a young man. At 21 years old, he was preaching to several thousand people twice every Sunday. At 21 years old. And he began to burn out and his mind got loaded down with all the things and all the problems that he had there, dealing with a big church full of people and preaching and all those things. And he came to the end and he came to the place where he just said, God, I can't go on anymore. And God said, I'm your sufficiency. Just trust me. I'm your wisdom. Just trust me. I am your strength. Just trust me. And oh, the sweet story of how he shares how God, through his life, just came to him time after time again. When he got into a place of extremity and he didn't know what he was going to do and he was absolutely at his wit's end to know what to do next, and God came in with his word and said, and God gave him a verse out of the Bible, just like our brother shared. And that verse was spirit, and that verse was life, and that verse was spoken to his very being. It was a rhema to him. It was alive to him. It was God's word spoken to his heart for his own need. And it became life, and it quickened him, and it brought him out of his troubles. So here we are today, with a room full of people, and many needs in our hearts. But there's no reason for us to despair. Maybe you went to a counselor and you didn't get an answer. That may have been the best thing that ever happened to you. Maybe you went to a brother or sister and you shared with them and you thought, this is going to take care of my need, but it didn't go away. That may have been the best thing that ever happened to you. Because Christ is all. He is all. It's not the counselor. It's not the comforter. It's not the one that will listen to you. It's not that. It's God who will meet your needs. He is the one that is able. He is the only one that will deliver you from whatever your need is. Maybe you're here this morning and you have turmoil in your relationships with somebody. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Do we believe it? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Master Peacemaker. You say, well, I went to a counselor and nothing's been solved yet. Did you go to the counselor? I've got problems and I need answers and I don't know what to do. And I went and sought counsel and I didn't get any answers. Did you go to the counselor yet? Maybe you're here this morning and you're lonely. You're all by yourself. And you're troubled on every side. And maybe you even went to a brother or sister and wanted some comfort, and you didn't get what you wanted. Did you go to the Comforter? You see, God doesn't want us to find in human elements that which He wants to meet in our lives. He does not want that. And the wisest counselor, and the wisest comforter, and the wisest peacemaker that there ever was the one, when somebody comes to them, they have the ability to bring them to the peacemaker, and to the counselor, and to the comforter, where their needs will be met. You say, I have a lot of questions, and I don't have answers to them. Did you go to the teacher? Well, I asked my preacher, and he couldn't give me a satisfactory answer. Did you go to the teacher, who has all the answers? Don't despair today. God wants to meet your needs. I don't have answers to all my questions. In fact, if you look through my Bible, you'll find question marks in there. And I don't know if I'll ever get the answers to some of them, but it doesn't matter to me. Christ is all. He is the need meter. And He wants to meet every need in this auditorium this morning. And He can meet every one of them without a human element. Now, He may use a human element, but He doesn't have to. Maybe you're in a period of darkness in your life, and you don't understand, and you just see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Have you been to the light of the world yet? Whose face shone like the sun? Have you been there yet? He can meet your needs. He can illuminate that dark corner of your life, and He can do it very well. He's the light of the world. Maybe you're in bondage today. I've got a bondage in my life, and I can't get rid of it, and I've been to this preacher, and I've been to this preacher, and I visited this evangelist, and I called this man on the phone. Oh, maybe you called all kinds of people, all kinds of human elements. But have you been to the Deliverer yet? See, He's the Deliverer. He's the one that delivers. There's deliverance in Zion today. And if you've got a bondage in your life and you can't get over it, you come to the Deliverer and you come His way and He'll deliver you. He will. Do we believe His Word this morning, just like our brother said? Is it precious to us? Is it alive to us? Is it quick? Is it spirit? And is it life? And can we read it and say, praise God, I'm going to believe that. It is spirit and it is life. Maybe you need healing today. Have you been to the physician? I've been to the doctor. I've been to the nurse. I read the health book. I've done everything I know to do. Have you been to the physician yet? Christ really is all. I know that simplifies the Christian life quite a bit. But it's one of the most profound truths that we'll ever grasp a hold of. And I don't know if we grasp it even yet this morning. Christ is all. For ye are complete in Him. For in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in Him. All those treasures are hidden. Have you been to the physician? You may say this morning, I've got such a burden on my heart, I need somebody to sit down and just listen to me. Have you been to the high priest, who knows every struggle that you're going through? He knows exactly how you feel. Maybe you went to somebody and they didn't understand you, and you tried to share your heart and they couldn't sympathize or empathize with you. And you went away frustrated and you said, oh, what's the use? Have you been to the high priest? He knows exactly what you're going through, and you can talk to Him. And if it's therapy to talk to somebody, how much more therapy is it to talk to Him? I mean, just spend an hour alone with Him and tell Him all about your trouble and your struggle. and tell Him how you feel, even if you don't feel right. Just unload it on Him. He's the high priest. Maybe you're having financial problems and you don't know what to do. And you've sought counsel and didn't get right answers that you thought. And you've tried harder to get out of your financial problem and it seems like you get worse. Have you been to the provider yet? And I'm going to clarify what I mean by that. I don't mean to have a little talk with Jesus. I don't mean that this morning. That's not going to the provider. That's not going to the physician to have a little talk with Jesus. But I guarantee you, if you'll touch the provider and you'll draw near into His heart, He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will do that. I believe it. God said it. This morning, you may be living under many accusations. And in your heart, you're just crying that somebody would come alongside and stand beside you and stand up for you. Well, the Bible says He's our advocate. He's our advocate. We need no one else to stand beside us if the advocate is standing beside us. He's our advocate and He's our pleader and He stands between us and whoever our accusers are. He's the advocate. Have you been to the advocate yet? They all men forsake me. Nobody understands the troubles I'm going through. Nobody stands with me. Have you been to the advocate yet? He'll stand with you. He'll stand there and put one hand on your shoulder and strengthen you in the midst of whatever you're going through. See, He's all. Christ is all. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus. And Jesus is everything. Do we believe that this morning? He wants to meet our needs. And He's able to meet our needs. So I'm preaching about real problems this morning. I didn't just make up a list here. But I just got the telephone list is what I did this morning. I just took the telephone list and I went down the telephone list and I said, there's one. There's another hurting one. There's another hurting one. But He can meet your need this morning. He can do it. Maybe there's a lot of chaos in your life and you don't know which way to turn. Did you ever go to see the God of order? Wherever God is, wherever He comes, where there's chaos, He just brings it right into beautiful order. He can do it. I need wisdom for my life. I have decisions to make and I don't know which way to turn. And I've sought counsel here and I've asked questions over here, but I'm not sure if I know what to do. Have you been to the only wise God yet? He's got the answers. And really, when we stop and think about it, God would much rather you learn to get your answers from Him. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. There's God's word to us. If we lack wisdom, let us ask of God who gives to some of the men who come. No, He gives to all men liberally. He doesn't hold it back. Life is sinking. Everything around you is sinking down. And you don't know what you're supposed to stand on. Have you been to the rock? The rock that is higher than I. All other ground is sinking sand. I need somebody to watch over my life. My preachers are not watching me the way they should. Have you been to the chief shepherd and bishop of your soul? He'll watch over you. He'll watch over you. He'll never fail you. I have no father. I don't know what it's like to have a father. There is a void in my life because I have no father. and I'm grasping and grasping that somebody would be my Father. Have you been to the Father? He's the Father of the fatherless. The Bible promises He'll be a Father to the fatherless. But note, brothers and sisters, He doesn't just come down and be the Father. You have to go to the Father, and then He'll manifest Himself as your Father. He'll meet your needs. Maybe you're in the battle today, and the battle is sore. And you're out there in the middle of the battlefield, and the devil is pressing upon you on every side, and you don't know which way to turn. The captain of the Lord of hosts, He is with us. The Lord, mighty in battle. He's the King of glory. He's the captain. He's our captain. We don't have to go to war by ourselves.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 12 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.